Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Another week of the Eagle Hour on Super Talk Mississippi. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. Bob Getty, along with our intern Nathan Lee, we're in the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Luke Johnson at the Southern Bancorp studio in Laurel. Kelly out today. He'll be back, I think, tomorrow. We're glad you're with us this afternoon. David Eckert from the Hattiesburg American about to join us on the heels of a 64-10 Southern Miss win over an outmanned and really understaffed, I think it's fair to say, Northwestern State team. The Golden Eagles are really no trouble at all. 41-0 at halftime, outscore the Demons 23-10, play every player on the football team, which that's a positive, and the Golden Eagles get their first win of the year. Before we go to David and want to first of all thank Dickie's Barbecue Pit for sponsoring this segment of the show. Always appreciate them. Never want to forget Dickie's, a great place to cater your next event and a great place for you to enjoy a great meal. Going to go to David Eckert here in just a minute, but first, here's what Will Hall had to say Saturday night as a wrap-up to the 64-10 win over Northwestern State.
I thought Nate Conn did a really good job and at the turn,
you know, the reward, you got to see a lot of young kids late, and we're recruiting at such a high level. It was so good to get them in. Man, I'm just so happy for them. I was so pleased with how our kids acted when those young kids got in. They were so happy for them. Kenyon Clay with a big touchdown late. But I thought our kicking game played at an elite level. We had one punt down there, really close to the one. You know, defensively, we played lights out. Offensively, we had a really explosive day, 588 yards on 71 snaps where we played everybody on our team. You know, it was a game we were supposed to win. We spent all week concentrating on eliminating mistakes and eliminating things that we do wrong. We didn't throw any interceptions. We didn't turn the ball. We did put the ball on the ground one time early, and we were able to recover it, so we had no turnovers. That's a huge step in the right direction. You know, with our main guys at play, I didn't think we had any critical errors that cost us. You know, it was just good to play a lot of kids and see us execute the way we think we can execute. And we didn't shoot ourselves in the foot. We really took a step forward with our theme this week, which was do your job with great effort, right? And I thought we had a lot of kids do their job tonight. And you know, with that, we can open it up.
All right, Nathan Lee grabbing those sound bites for us after the football game Saturday night. David Eckert now from the Hattiesburg American on the Super Talk Eagle Hour. David, nice win. Always good to win, and especially here lately. The Golden Eagles, I think everybody in the stadium enjoyed taking in a win, 64-10. But hard to make a lot of judgments against an opponent with all due respect, like Northwestern State. Is that fair?
Yeah, definitely. Thanks for having me on again, guys. I'm with you, man. I mean, look, like I just want to be respectful of Northwestern State, certainly, but that was not, you know, a football team that was capable of being competitive, you know, on the road against an FBS opponent. So not a whole lot you can really derive from that, maybe a few things here and there, but by and large, I'm not drawing any big picture conclusions from that one.
No, I guess the question that comes out of the game, at least in my mind, is you know, you played all your quarterbacks, and does that create uncertainty and, for lack of a better term, a quarterback controversy, David?
Well, look, I suppose yes. I'm not sure that wouldn't have happened anyway. But look, I my read on the quarterback situation at this point is that it's very much going to be a two-man game for a while. I don't see that changing, barring an outstanding game from either one of these guys, or maybe more accurately, a run of outstanding games. Because, look, I mean, Zach Wilkie was great against Miami, you know, and he has one game where he's not awesome, and Ty Keyes is great, and all of a sudden we're right back to square one, you know? So I just kind of think that's how it's going to go, and it's going to be a game-by-game thing here for a little while.
All right, let's get in here with David.
David, just to follow up on that, what's the negative of – I was joking Saturday with somebody, and I said, you know, Ty scores four touchdowns. Nothing can be easy and simple, and you should know that about Southern Miss Athletics now that you're covering the Golden Eagles. Nothing can be easy and simple. There's always a curveball attached to it. I see the positives. You have the game plan. They have their strengths and weaknesses. Both of them do. But what's the potential negatives for not being able to, you know, name a definite starter and go forward?
Yeah, you know, I guess the first one that pops into my mind is just cohesiveness, right? At this point in the season, if you have a definitive starting quarterback, he's getting all of, if not, you know, very close to all of the first team reps. And that doesn't seem like that's going to be the case this week, or, you know, potentially even further out than that. So that to me is the major negative. Based on what they've said publicly, I don't believe that there's, you know, any strife locker room wise. I think that's fine for now. So for me, it's just reps, right? Like if you're Zach Wilkie, and you've been playing with the threes and the twos in the lead up to this, you're not getting the full chance to develop a relationship with the first string wideouts and develop that understanding that you would get if you were the guy, and that's it, period. So, yeah, for me, that's the big one.
Yeah, to that point, I think it was DeMarcus Jones in the postgame presser just said, you know, there's strengths of each one. You got to, you know, play differently possibly when I'm putting words in his mouth. But, I mean, that was it. You got to adjust to who's ever in the game. I do want to ask you, moving forward this week before I hand it back to Bob, Tulane, two easy wins, but then they go out and beat Kansas State in Manhattan, and Willie Fritz's squad's out to 3-0. Maybe coming into the season, you know, Southern Miss fans may have, you know, not seen this Tulane team to be what they are at the moment.
Yeah, I probably didn't anticipate them going into Manhattan and winning a game, you know, and that's a solid Kansas State team with a solid enough quarterback and Adrian Martinez, right? So definitely not a game that I would anticipate them winning. But, you know, again, it's a single game. I don't know how much we really know about them yet. I was surprised by, I guess, how tight that game was defensively. You look at it, I've got the box score pulled up right now, 176 passing yards for Michael Pratt, 50% completion percentage, a touchdown and two picks, and that's good enough for him to win the game. You know, so maybe a little bit of a different identity for this Tulane team.
All right, we're talking to David Eckert from the Hattiesburg American. Back to the quarterbacks real quick, about a minute and a half left of the segment. Here's what Coach Hall said Saturday night when asked about the quarterback situation moving forward.
Zach Wilkie, the starter, going into Tulane?
I got no idea, man. We got a whole week of practice. You know what I mean? And practice matters here. Practice matters a whole lot here. Yep. But I thought he did some good things tonight. You know, he threw a touchdown, threw for over 100 yards. He had some good checks early. He had one third down boneheaded play where he didn't read it the right way. You know, he made a great throw to Kasten in the back of the end zone, in the red zone. You know what I'm saying? He was headed to Brownlee when Brownlee slipped on the other one. That probably could have been another touchdown. And then Ty comes in and has the big one. He has the big one to Jalen May on a RPO. And then he has another big one to Zay Franks on the RPO, you know, where they won. And so I like both of them, man. I love both of them. I recruited both of them. I know both of them's mamas and daddies and all their people and where they're from. And I'd let them both live with me. You know what I'm saying? So I look forward to coaching them on Monday. I look forward to coaching them on Tuesday. And it's going to be a fun week. It's going to be a fun week. Here's what we got, though. When I show up on Monday, them two suckers can play. All right? They can play, and they're like baby birds listening to you, and they just want to get better. You know what I mean? So, like, that's what you want. You know what I mean? Like, we just went from a week versus Miami to another week where we had two guys that are really talented and can play and want to be coached, and we can run our offense. And now we're going to do it again. We're fixing to go three straight weeks of running our offense with our quarterbacks again. Like, I know that sounds crazy, but, like, guys, we ain't been able to do that. You know, I know that's common everywhere, and I've been coaching 19 years, and it's the only time I've ever experienced anything like this, but, like, we're finna go our third straight week of running our offense with our quarterbacks.
Yeah. All right, that's Coach Hall after the game Saturday. We're talking to David Eckert from the Hattiesburg American. Tulane up next, undefeated Tulane, an old rival for the Golden Eagles. That's up next. We're going to be talking more with David after the break. Stay with us. More Southern Miss football on the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, second segment of the show is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and campusbookmart.net. They were rolling all weekend, and they've got a great selection of Southern Miss apparel on Hardy Street. Remember, you can hear the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast every day on Apple Podcasts, Audible, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can just tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. Confirmed right before the show, we're going to be doing some interviews tomorrow morning with Zach Wilkie and Swayze Bozeman. So we'll look forward to hear what those kids have to say. A beautiful defensive play by Bozeman Saturday night. And, of course, Wilkie, a true freshman, making a name for himself at quarterback. We'll look forward to those conversations. We're talking to David Eckert from the Hattiesburg American. Nice atmosphere Saturday night, 26,000-plus at the game, David. And I thought the atmosphere much improved. The team obviously looked a lot better, but as we move forward now, it just gets significantly tougher, correct?
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going on the road to a 3-0 team. You know, rivalry game, you guys can talk more about that than I can, but and then Sun Belt play, and you've seen what Sun Belt teams have done so far. So you're right, man. It's There aren't any easy games ahead. But at the same time, I'm not sure that there are any games ahead that aren't winnable, right? Like, there's no Miami coming up. So,
right.
We'll see.
Well, and again, I don't want to put too much stock into what we saw Saturday night because the opponent was so weak. But clearly, this is a better football team than last year. And clearly, this is a good defensive football team, David, that I think they play well enough defensively that they can win some games for the Golden Eagles the remainder of the year.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. I mean, just the pressure packages that Austin Armstrong dials up, the way that they pressure the quarterback, you know, the linebacker play that they get, and then that veteran secondary. I mean, there's not much not to like about that defense. And I would add that they're playing really well on special teams too. Like, you know, Natron Brooks just won the Special Teams Player of the Week award with Sunbelt. I thought Mason Hunt was awesome in Saturday's game. He was probably the best player on the field for either team for me. If they can get those two phases to consistently be dominant, all they need is passable offense, and they're going to win some games.
Nathan, you were in the locker room after the game, and a win is a win. I mean, and this team really needed to win a game. I'm sure the atmosphere was totally different than what you saw after Liberty.
Oh, much different. You know, even at the beginning of the game, I don't know if, you know, Hall's statements about attendance did something, but it felt like the fans were there it felt like they knew that there was going to be a win, but it just felt like they were excited to be there. Good atmosphere throughout the game. Locker room was different. The players were happy. You could tell Coach Hall was in a much better mood, obviously, not blowing a lead like against Liberty. So overall, yeah, the atmosphere was great.
Yeah, Luke, short of the never-ending loud blaring music over the PA system, it was a great atmosphere, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, they upgraded that in the offseason, so they have to show that off a little bit. And I actually, you know, the first game, I actually thought that they could have turned it up a little more. So maybe people were thinking like me. But, David, you focused towards Tulane and familiar foe. It was 2 years ago that the Green Wave put up 66 points and 427 rushing yards, 7 rushing touchdowns. Against the Golden Eagles, you kind of feel like, though, this is kind of like the Liberty game. Both coaching staffs are crazy familiar with each other. Of course, Will knows everybody down there. He brought some Tulane guys with him to Hattiesburg. Any thoughts on that, or has that been mentioned already this week, and just your take?
Yeah, you know, Will was on the Sun Belt teleconference with us, and he was just kind of saying, you know, like, how much respect he has for Willie Fritz, and you know how he feels like you know, the game needs more guys like him. But this week, you know, he loves them, but he's just trying to beat them this week, and that's what there is to it. You know, I think Liberty was kind of similar. Maybe the relationships weren't quite as close, but there are a ton of tie-ins on that staff compared to, you know, or I guess with guys that Hall has been around previously, so maybe this isn't new, but definitely two programs that are going to know a lot about what each other is trying to do. So I think it's going to be a game where it's going to come down to execution, because I'm not sure how much scheme can really play a part when you're so familiar with the guy across the field from you.
Yeah, and one more little story bit to that. You know, Ty Keyes was committed to Tulane before Will Hall came to Southern Miss, and he brought him. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on the offense. I did chuckle when I heard Will say that in the postgame presser Saturday. This is the third week in a row we've been able to run our offense. How much of the offense do you think we have been able to see? You know, we've seen the RPO bit. Have got the ball to tight end this weekend. I still feel like we still haven't seen, you know, a great majority of what he wants to accomplish in this offense.
Yeah, it's a good question, right? I'm not sure. I mean, you know, I'd be lying if I'd said there were, you know, 50 different trick plays that they've been running in practice that I'm seeing that they haven't brought out yet. Like, I just don't think that's necessarily the case. But yeah, it's. I don't necessarily think they've been holding things back. Maybe they have, and I just don't know. But, you know, it's the quarterback situation dictates a lot of that, right?
Right.
Because the offense with Ty Keyes back there, who, you know, obviously we all know is supremely athletic, is a pure dual threat guy, is 100% different than the offense with Zach Wilkie back there, because he doesn't have the same capabilities and the scheme has to be a little bit different. So it's going to depend on who's back there. And right now we don't know who that is. So it's tough to predict, right?
Yeah. Real quick on that notion. I mean, if you factor that in though, and that may be why we may go two quarterbacks for quite a while, because the opposing offense or opposing defense only really has 3 days to prepare for a Keyes offense, a Wilkie offense, and the Superback. And I think that plays into Southern Miss's hands really well.
Yeah, no doubt. I was almost a little bit surprised when Will told us who his starting quarterback was going to be as early as he did. You know, I think there's a lot of guys and a lot of coaches who would just let that ride into Saturday. Like, you know, I think that's what Lane Kiffin's been doing. I haven't been following that super closely, but, you know, you'll find out Saturday, guys, I think is a pretty common response to that question. So I was a little surprised that he gave it up. I'll be interested to see if he, you know, kind of changes his strategy there. But yeah, you're so right. You know, there's a variety of different things that opposing teams have to have to prepare for at the quarterback position.
Hey, before we let you go, David, I know you came here covering Penn State football. You're three games in now to covering Southern Miss football, Group of Five football, as compared to what you're used to. Your thoughts, how are you enjoying it, and what are your thoughts about what you're seeing so far?
Yeah, I've really liked it. I like it, you know, and obviously I haven't been doing this for as long as I was doing the other stuff, but I just think that I've liked it better so far. It's just, it feels like less of a, you know, grand occasion. Like it's more about the people. It's more about the event. It's less about, you know, all of the other stuff that's above everybody's head. And I've really appreciated that. That's been a really nice change for me that I've enjoyed. And when, you know, I'm not a football analyst, right? Like, I consider myself a storyteller first. And when you're at a place where you get that access and that ability to tell those stories, then, you know, that's all you can ask for. And Southern Miss is infinitely better for me in that regard. So I've really enjoyed Group of Five football.
Well, we're glad you're here. We really appreciate the coverage you're giving the football program. And the good news for you is that the humidity is mostly gone now, David. So I don't think you're gonna see a lot of really humid days from here on out.
It could crop up in early December, though. It occasionally will do that.
I'm not cowering inside my house anymore. You're right.
We appreciate you being on the show, man. We'll look forward to having you on again next Monday.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having
David
me.
Eckert. All right, real quick. We've got 30 seconds left, Nathan. I thought the students were there. I thought they were enthusiastic. Your thoughts about the student involvement in the game Saturday night?
I was impressed overall. You know, I've said my things about attendance as well. But the students showed up. They brought the energy, it felt like, in that student section. I know that half of them left at halftime, but the score was so bad, so you kind of expect that. But if they can keep doing that all season, bringing that energy to the entire Rock for all the big games that are coming up, you know, not Northwestern State games, all it does is help this team.
Let me confess, I left at halftime.
Yeah.
You know, it's 41.
If I could have, I would.
41 to nothing. Yeah. So, all right, we'll be back.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, we want to thank David Eckert from Hattiesburg American for joining us the first half of the show. Also want to extend our best wishes to our good friend Lee Roberts, who has undergone a medical procedure today. I'm sure you noticed he was not on the broadcast Saturday night. Lee's going to be 100%. He's a great guy, and we hope to have him back on the show next week. Feel pretty certain that we will. In fact, he was talking to you yesterday. Look, he was going to try to get back on tomorrow. Is that what I understand? Right after the procedure.
He's trying to have like this list of all these places where he is commentating on the Eagle Hour. So
yeah.
I don't know. He may take a recorder with him sometime and do it while skydiving. I know if Lee gives you his word that he's going to do something,
He is a wonderful guy, man. And we wish him a really speedy recovery. 4th Street Bar & Grill sponsors this segment of the Eagle Hour, and we're always glad that they do. It's a great place to have lunch 5 days a week. It's a great place to enjoy the next ball game, and we hope that you'll do that. All right, guys, not a good week. Not a good week for the Sun Belt. 2-9. Run down the scores here real quickly. Alabama shamefully beats Louisiana Monroe 63-7. That's just terrible. Marshall loses a close three-point game to Bowling Green. South Alabama loses by 1 point to UCLA. Memphis pretty handedly beats Arkansas State. I saw the end of the ODU-Virginia game. I was talking to you guys about it. It's so frustrating And Luke, maybe you have an answer to this. You know, they held Virginia and their fine quarterback to 13 points the entire game. The entire game. They take a lead with 1 minute to go, and then they change their whole defensive philosophy, rush three people, drop everybody back, no pressure on the quarterback, and Virginia marches down the field and wins the game by 2 points. Can you explain that, Luke Johnson?
Well, I mean, conventional wisdom says you don't give up the big play. But, I mean, what we've seen in the really last 5 years of football is that if you leave like a minute and a half on the clock or even a little under that, you almost have left too much time on the clock for opposing defenses, particularly right. in the NFL. But, I mean, even in college, with the ability, you know, with the no-huddle offense and the way that you can in college specifically, I mean, once you get a first down, clock stops. You can race up to the line and clock it. So I get the prevent. I really get it. I mean, I've been in football games before where we lost in the last minute because we didn't go to prevent. We were just stayed in cover two or something. So you can bring pressure, and then the same thing happens, and you're asking why didn't you go to prevent? But to your point, they were getting pressure on Virginia all day. And kudos, those were pretty cool jerseys that the Monarchs had on.
They look good. They look good uniform. They lose 16-14, last second field goal by Virginia. Baylor beat Texas State 42-7. Coastal Carolina held up for the conference. They beat Buffalo 38-26. UAB. Kind of a surprise, beat Georgia Southern 35-21 right after Georgia Southern had beaten Nebraska. Charlotte beat Georgia State 42-41, so that's another tough loss, really, really close. This is the shocker to me. Rice beat Louisiana Lafayette, Luke Johnson, 33-21. Who would have predicted that?
The longest winning streak in the nation ends. And, I mean, you know, Rice has been one of those teams that they've been just kind of slowly improving with Holmgren, their coach. You know, he was at Stanford for a long time, and, you know, they've showed ability to win. And so it really surprised me. I think it just kind of shows you that with Lafayette, with some of the inexperience, they may show up on Saturday that they don't. But, yeah, the nation's longest winning streak comes to an end.
And Appalachian State beats Troy on a Hail Mary at the end of the game, which just caused chaos.
So there was the two calls of it. The TV got pretty excited. But if you go listen to our friend Adam Witten, who's been on this show a few times, and you hear him and his color guy, what it sounds like is that somebody got attacked by a bear up on the mountain in Boone, because they're screaming at the same time. You can't hear anything they're saying. But, yeah, 2 seconds to go, Bryce throws it down to the 5-yard line, gets tipped backwards right into the arms of a Mountaineer. And because of that play and because of College Game Day, that will be a day that lives in infamy Appalachian State, not just athletics, or not just football, but athletics as well. Yeah. Unbelievable, because it would not have been appropriate for them to host Game Day and then lose.
Right. Unfortunately, a couple of kids were injured. Yeah, and that melee on the field, we hope that they recover. All right, so Nathan's about to leave. But, Nathan, you made me feel better because I went home Saturday night thinking, I'm just really turning into a grumpy old man. But you agreed with me that there are a lot of young guys your age that think maybe this loud music between every defensive play in the stadium, maybe a little much.
Just a little much. You know, let's get some variety on these songs, maybe. You know, let's spread it out. Get some songs from the team. That's what Luke was saying over the break. Yeah. Get some input. And then maybe let's get the pride in there. You know, let's get some juice.
Let me hear more of the pride during the course of the game. All right, so it wasn't just me.
Nope.
You have made my day, son. I just want you to understand that. All right, Luke. Overall, your impressions of the night, the weekend, I thought it was a great crowd. I did think the atmosphere was much improved, and I loved having the high school bands there. I thought those kids brought a lot. And you know, I got to say this, guys, kudos to the Pride and the Dixie Darlings. I just enjoyed watching them so much before the game. And like I say, I just like to hear more of them during the course of the game.
Yeah, I want to go back to the Sun Belt for a minute, because the game we didn't mention, and then I'll come back to Saturday night. South Alabama should have beat UCLA in Los Angeles. They were up 31-29 with 3 minutes to go. They had just driven down an 11-play drive. They were at UCLA's 22-yard line. It was about a 39-yard field goal, and they faked it. If they'd have made it, they'd have been up, what, 5 with 3 minutes to go in the ball game, but they faked it and ended up getting beat by a field goal. So it wasn't just the fact that Sun Belt teams, you know, had an opportunity to do what they were going to do in week two. They could do this in week three. Went 10-4 last week, but 2-9. But, you know, as you mentioned, had a chance to beat Virginia, had a real chance, should have beat UCLA. And kind of one that's head-scratcher to me, Bob, is Charlotte was 0-3. They win against Georgia State, who's now, you know, 0-3. So
yeah.
It just shows you that any week can go its way in football. Back to Saturday night. People, I think all of us knew it was going to be a game like that. And when it's like that, you're not going just for the spectacle or the question of will we win. It's an opportunity to see who's coming next. I hope you saw it. And when Ty threw it across the middle and Zay Franks, the redshirt freshman from McGee, one-handed catch, bringing the ball in. Then Jalen May goes a long way. Mims caught some passes. Kenyon Clay got a touchdown. I mean, it just shows you what's behind who's out there making plays. And yeah, it's one of those nights when we would play some of those. You know, we played Jackson State 1 year, we blew them out. Played Lafayette 1 year, blew them out. We knew those games were coming, but it's an opportunity. I think Will said this in the postgame presser, to cheer on your teammates and to celebrate other people getting the opportunity to play after they practiced all week.
I thought the best thing I heard all night is when he said every kid on the roster got on the field and got to play, and I think that's really, really good. All right, Nathan, we appreciate that stuff you're doing for us after the game. And I guess, so you've had two experiences. It's a lot more fun to deal with Coach Hall after a win than a loss. That's the first question.
Definitely, definitely. Okay. Don't ask him about attendance ever again either.
Yes, and I was going to congratulate you on not stirring up a controversy your second night down in the locker room.
Exactly. I'm getting better at it, I think, yeah.
All right, Nathan Lee, everybody. Our intern is doing such a great job, and we appreciate everything that Nathan is doing. Okay, Luke, so three under the belt, I guess what, maybe just a little less than a third of the way through the season as Nathan leaves to go take an exam, something, thank God, I haven't had to do in a long time, probably would not do well. 90 seconds left. I've got to ask you before we go to the last segment. You know, I enjoyed college football all weekend, and then I watched the grown man gladiators yesterday in the Superdome with Tampa Bay and New Orleans. Those are one of those games where you say there really isn't anything quite like National Football League football.
Yeah. So the Saints played terrible against the Falcons for three quarters, and then they played lights out fourth quarter. Yesterday, they played defense played incredible, but offense played bad in the first half. Offense played more bad in the second half, except for, you know, one drive when then Ingram fumbles it, you know, inside the, I think it was the 10-yard line. Jameis throws three interceptions. It's just kind of like, yeah, are we going to decide to play good in the first half? And offensively, I should say, because defense played lights out. I'll ask Patrick McGee about this later, but there's some controversy brewing from yesterday. So Bruce Arians, who retired last year, was on the sideline. And whenever, you know, Lattimore got into a shoving match, when Fournette shoved Lattimore, Mike Evans is running off the field, and Bruce Arians said something to him and sent him back on the field. The dude's not even a coach. Why is he on the sideline? And anyway, Lattimore got ejected as well with Evans. That's twice against the Saints that Mike Evans has come off the bench. And I think he got suspended today for an extra game, so good for him. But there was just some there is no love between those rivals at all.
Do you think? Everybody says it's the Saints and the Falcons. I say the rivalry now is the Bucks and the Saints. I don't think there's really any argument to that. We'll be back. Wrap up the Monday edition of the Eagle Hour next.
Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment today on this Monday, brought to you by DBAT and D1 Training on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Proud sponsor of the Eagle Hour, Pro Shop Indoor Hitting Facilities, Indoor Workout Running Facilities, all there at DBAT and D1. DBATHattiesburg.com. Luke and Bob from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel. Some news and notes, as David Eckert mentioned earlier, Natron Brooks wins the Sun Belt Conference Special Teams Player of the Week against Northwestern State. 7 punt returns for 145 yards. If you want to know what the math is, that's averaging about 20.7 yards a punt return. So congratulations to senior Natron Brooks out of Starkville. He is the Sun Belt Special Teams Player of the Week. While the football team was taking it to the Northwestern football team in the Rock, ladies tennis was over in Natchitoches for the Lady Demon Invitational, and 2 Southern Miss Lady Eagle tennis players brought home titles, both Clara Tardival and Hannah Chambers. Both brought home some titles, so congratulations to them as ladies tennis gets started up this fall. They will practice, and then in a few weeks they'll head down to the ITA regionals in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Women's soccer, after their tour of the SEC West, starts the real season, the Sun Belt. And what did they do? They went up to Huntington, and Saturday they defeated the Marshall Thundering Herd Lady Soccer team by a score of 3-1. And so congratulations to them. Ryan Smith, Bernadette Stefan, and Esmeraldo Figueroa scored goals for the Lady Eagles. And so they are now 1-0 in the Sun Belt. They will take on ULM this Saturday over in Monroe. Volleyball was, of course, on the road in Jacksonville State, up in Jacksonville, Alabama. Lady Eagles dropped 2 matches this weekend to Auburn and Jacksonville State, but rebounded and defeated Jackson State on Saturday, 3-1. They improved to 8-4 on the year. And kind of the preseason's done. They will host South Alabama this coming weekend, 6 p.m. Friday, 2 p.m. Saturday, and for a conference match in there. Golf, after last week, what the men did over in Ruston, Louisiana, Lady Eagles golf team is in Hoover at the Hoover Invitational, hosted by the University of Alabama at Birmingham. And right now, Lady Eagles in first place. Momoka Ondo for the Lady Eagles. First overall, shoots a 68 today, 4 under. Lady Eagles ahead of North Alabama, South Alabama, Memphis, UAB, and Southern Illinois, among other teams. So Lady Golf getting it done as well, Bob.
Right, no question about it. Mo Bay Beignet Company on Hardy Street, right across from the campus. One of our most fun remotes we've ever done, just a few weeks behind us. But they're open every day, serving up delicious beignets. They cook them as you come in and order them. A great selection of cold and hot coffees. And I think right now they still have that blackberry topping, if I'm not mistaken about that, which I actually drank some of that, like Kelly Sander was drinking everything in his sight the day we were down there. But Mo Bay Beignet Company, we thank them for their support of Eagle. I want to thank my good buddy Larry Warren for treating me to lunch today. That's always fun. And I wanted to say, Luke, that I think Sander is not here. Now, he told me this morning that his daughter is leaving the country. She's going to Paris for a while, and that he was going over to Atlanta to say goodbye to her. But I really believe he's not here because of the football game yesterday. The Bengals are 0-2. The Dallas Cowboys beat them yesterday on a last-second field goal, and I suspect that's why Sanders not here.
I mean, he had to go to Atlanta. As much as he's been crushing on Georgia State in the preseason Sun Belt stuff, he might have just gone over there and sat on a bench in Atlanta and talked to people on campus. But, yeah, for whatever reason, we'll try to get the semi-truth from him. I sent you this picture yesterday, and congratulations, first off, to Matt Wallner for being called up to the show this weekend in his first game. In the 8th inning, his first major league hit, home run. And I don't know if you saw this, Bob, but the Twins actually sent a couple bats out and halfway negotiated with this Cleveland fan. I think Wallner had signed a couple bats, and he was able to get his home run ball back. But I sent you that picture last night because on the same major league baseball field, And they took a picture at the end. Wallner in the middle, and on either side of him, Kurt McCarty and Nick Sandlin, all in Major League uniforms, playing in Major League Baseball at the highest level. It's pretty incredible.
What a great picture that was. That's a picture for the ages there, Luke. That just put a massive smile on my face when I saw what you had sent me. What a great moment for Southern Miss baseball and its proud baseball program.
I text Kurt when Wallner got the call up, and I said, hey, now's the time to get him back for that bomb he launched off of you in AAA. This is before Wallner hit the home run, and Kurt was like, well, those don't count. It's only the ones he hits at the major league level. And what does Matt do? Same day, he hits a bomb.
That's his first major league hit, was it not?
First major league home run. And what was so cool, man, they panned to the stands, and his whole family was there, just going crazy in Twins gear. It was like a 30-40 minute ride for them. So pretty incredible for the Wallners.
We love all three of those guys, and could not be happier for them. All right, that's the Eagle Hour for a Monday. We'll be back tomorrow at 1:00. We hope you will too. And until then, Southern Miss
to the top. Into the future. Time keeps on slipping into the future. I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly like an eagle, let my spirit carry me. I want to fly like an eagle till I'm free.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.